Instead of a traditional sermon, I wanted to share with you the gift of a story. This is a story. I've shared this with the children at least one Christmas Eve, so you may know it, but like all good stories, it bears repeating. This is a story called Why the Chimes Rang, and it has special meaning to me because my mother used to read it to us kids every Christmas Eve for many, many years. And to me, it sums up the meaning of Christmas, the message of Christmas, much better and more powerfully than I ever could. So I wanted to share it with you this morning as the sermon. Why the Chimes Rang by Raymond MacDonald Alden. And Amira remembers it, but she's still going to listen attentively to it. There was once, in a faraway country where few people ever traveled, a wonderful church. It stood on a high hill in the midst of a great city, and every Sunday, as well as on sacred days like Christmas, thousands of people climbed the hill to its great archways, looking like lines of ants all moving in the same direction. When you came to the building itself, you found stone columns and dark passages and a grand entrance leading to the main room of the church. This room was so long that one standing at the doorway could scarcely see to the other end, where the choir stood by the marble altar. In the farthest corner was the organ. And this organ was so loud that sometimes when it played, the people for miles around would close their shutters and prepare for a great thunderstorm. Willard likes to play that loud, by the way. Altogether, no such church as this was ever seen before, especially when it was lighted up for some festival and crowded with people, young and old. But the strangest thing about the whole building was the wonderful chime of bells. At one corner of the church was a great gray tower with ivy growing over it as far as one could see. I say as far as one could see because the tower was quite great enough to fit the great church, and it rose so far into the sky that it was only in very fair weather that anyone claimed to be able to see the top. Even then, one could not be certain that it was in sight. Up and up and up climbed the stones and the ivy, and as the men who had built the church had been dead for hundreds of years, everyone had forgotten how high the tower was supposed to be. Now all the people knew that at the top of the tower was a chime of Christmas bells. They had hung there ever since the church had been built and were the most beautiful bells in the world. Some thought it was because a great musician had cast them and arranged them in their place. Others said it was because of the great height, which reached up where the air was clearest and purest. However that may be, no one who had ever heard the chimes denied they were the sweetest in the entire world. Some described them as sounding like angels far up in the sky. Others as sounding like strange winds singing through the trees. But the fact was, no one had heard them for years and years. There was an old man living not far from the church who said that his mother had spoken of hearing them when she was a little girl, and he was the only one who was sure of as much as that. They were Christmas chimes, you see, and were not meant to be played by men or on common days. It was the custom on Christmas Eve for all the people to bring to the church their offerings to the Christ child. And when the greatest and best offering was laid on the altar, there used to come sounding through the music of the choir the Christmas chimes far up in the tower. Some said that the wind rang them. Others that they were so high that the angels could set them singing or swinging. But for many long years, they had never been heard. May I set this near you, Minnie? I might need it. But for many long years, they had never been heard. It was said that people had been growing less careful of their gifts for the Christ child, and that no offering was brought great enough to deserve the music of the chimes. Every Christmas Eve, the rich people still crowded to the altar, each one trying to bring some better gift than any other, without giving anything that he wanted for himself. And the church was crowded with those who thought that perhaps the wonderful bells might be heard again. But although the service was splendid and the offerings plenty, only the roar of the wind could be heard far up in the stone tower. Now, a number of miles from the city, in a little country village where nothing could be seen of the great church but glimpses of the tower when the weather was fine, lived a little boy named Pedro and his little brother. They knew very little about the Christmas chimes. They had heard of the service in the church on Christmas Eve and had a secret plan, which they often talked over, to go and see the beautiful celebration. "Nobody can guess, little brother," Pedro would say, "all the fine things there are to see and hear, and I have even heard it said the Christ child himself sometimes comes down to bless the service. What if we could see him?" The day before Christmas was bitterly cold, with a few lonely snowflakes in the air and a hard white crust on the ground. Sure enough, Pedro and little brother were able to slip quietly away early in the afternoon, and although the walking was hard in the frosty air, before nightfall they had trudged so far hand in hand that they saw the lights of the big city just ahead of them. Indeed, they were about to enter one of the gates in the wall that surrounded it when they saw something dark on the snow near their path and stepped aside to look at it. It was a poor woman who had fallen just outside the city, too sick and tired to get in where she might have sought shelter. The soft snow made of a drift a sort of pillow for her, and she would soon be so sound asleep in the wintry air that no one could ever waken her again. All this Pedro saw in an instant, and he knelt down beside her and tried to rouse her, even tugging at her arm a little, as though he would have tried to carry her away. He turned her face toward him so that he could rub some of the snow on it, and when he had looked at her silently a moment, he stood up and said, "It's no use, little brother. You will have to go on alone." "Alone," cried little brother, "and you not see the Christmas festival?" "No," said Pedro, and he could not keep back a bit of a choking sound in his throat. "See this poor woman? Her face looks like the Madonna in the chapel window, and she will freeze to death if nobody cares for her. Everyone has gone to the church now, but when you come back, you can bring someone to help her. I will rub her to keep her from freezing and perhaps get her to eat the bun that is left in my pocket." But I cannot bear to leave you and go alone," said little brother. "Both of us need not miss the service," said Pedro, "and it had better be I than you. You can easily find your way to the church, and you must see and hear everything twice, little brother, once for you and once for me. I'm sure the Christ child must know how I should love to come with you and worship him. And, oh, if you get the chance, little brother, to slip up to the altar without getting in anyone's way, take this little silver piece of mine and lay it down for my offering, when no one is looking. Do not forget where you have left me, and forgive me for not going with you." In this way, he hurried little brother off to the city and winked hard to keep back the tears as he heard the crunching footsteps sounding farther and farther away. It was pretty hard to lose the music and the splendor of the Christmas celebration that he had been planning for so long and spend the time instead in that lonely place in the snow. The great church was a wonderful place that night. Everyone said it had never looked so bright and beautiful before. When the organ played and the thousands sang, the walls shook with the sound, and little Pedro, away outside the city, felt the earth tremble around him. At the close of the service came the processions with the offerings to be laid on the altar. Rich men and great men marched proudly up to lay down their gifts to the Christ child. Some brought wonderful jewels, some baskets of gold so heavy they could scarcely carry them. A great writer laid down a book he had been making for years and years, and last of all walked the king of the country, hoping with all the rest to win for himself the chime of the Christmas bells. There went a great murmur through the people, or through the church, as the people saw the king take from his head the royal crown, all set with precious stones, and lay it gleaming on the altar as his offering to the holy child. "Surely," everyone said, "we shall hear the bells now, for nothing like this has ever happened before." But still, only the cold old wind was heard in the tower, and all the people shook their heads. Some of them said, as they had before, they never really believed the story of the chimes and doubted if they ever rang at all. Procession was over and the choir began the closing hymn. Suddenly, the organist stopped playing as though he had been shot. And everyone looked at the old minister who was standing by the altar, holding up his hand for silence. Not a sound could be heard from anyone in the church, but as all the people strained their ears to listen, there came softly, but distinctly, swinging through the air, the sound of the chimes in the tower. So far away, and yet so clear the music seemed. So much sweeter were the notes than anything they had heard before, rising and falling away up there in the sky, that the people in the church sat for a moment as still as though something held each of them by their shoulders. Then they all stood up together and stared straight at the altar to see what great gift had awakened the long silent bells. But all that the nearest of them saw was the childish figure of little brother, who had crept softly down the aisle when no one was looking and had laid Pedro's little piece of silver on the altar. Merry Christmas.